Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And it is Monday morning. I'm joined in studio by, firstly, I wanted to give a shout out to our producer over there, Sina, because she's hanging out here with us, and it's great to have her. Craig on control. Dave, it's good to see you, sir.
Morning.
Morning. From Dis-Chem Linksfield, David Kahn, and always great to have him in studio. It is the Dis-Chem Medical Monday. I'm Nicholas Ingle, and you're listening to 101.9 High FM. We're going to be chatting about the global shortage of certain drugs and the effects that that can have on our health.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Good morning. You're listening to 101.9 High FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and it is your Dis-Chem Medical Monday. We're going to be chatting about drug shortages and the effects that it has on the pharmacy industry and on us and on the world in general. So let us have your questions or comments on our WhatsApp number 061-895-1019. I'm joined in studio by Dis-Chem's David Kahn. And just before we go into chatting about the drug shortage issue, you notice I have a 5-liter bottle of water here in studio with me, and I've just had about 300 mils about 30 minutes before we started talking, and I'm feeling fantastic, better than I would normally with a cup of coffee. But the thing that made the biggest change for me was what we chatted about a couple of weeks ago, keeping your sinuses moist and keeping that running so that you can get rid of all the junk in there. Having got myself a humidifier from Dis-Chem and having drinking a little bit more water, it's been a balancing act between not waking up too early and having enough water in the system. So, Dale, I just want to say thank you for that.
Quite so. We've actually had quite a few people come in, and they've taken cognizance of what we discussed, and the outcomes have been very positive for them. So a lot of gratitude out there. Thank you.
No, thank you. It's been absolutely fantastic. It's not something that really I ever thought of in terms of the seriousness or the almost immediate effect that it gives. But I've woken up every morning without being clogged, without being blocked, and which is my life every winter in Johannesburg up until now. So big thank you. Get out there, get a humidifier. I think even in summer, we don't have the massive humidity here in Johannesburg.
Correct.
On the
high
veld.
And now we've even got electricity to keep those humidifiers running.
Yeah, but no water put it in. So, but the one fun thing just to mention as well is I'm loving this two plus three special with the sweets and the treats and the water.
Yes.
You know, buy 3 5-liter waters and pay for two. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
So I'm taking advantage of that, not to mention certain chocolate brands. But it's been fantastic. So let's chat about the shortage of medication, the shortage of drugs. We saw during the pandemic there were chip shortages, there were logistics issues that were affecting everything. Those seem to have leveled off. But just for some of the information that I was reading through for this chat, you know, there are over 323 drugs, I think, on a watch list in the U.S. alone for being short or at risk of shortage.
Yes. In the U.K., in January, there was a list of over 80 drugs that were in critical shortage status with the NHS.
Right.
Late last year, we had a list of about 220 items that we could not actually access. And for us, that has improved a lot. It's decreased to about 80.
80?
80 at the moment, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So how is this affecting patients coming in? Is it sort of addressed by the doctors where they're prescribing less, or does the patient sort of realize there's a shortage where you are the first point of contact?
We are the first point of contact, and the level of communication from the pharmaceutical companies isn't the best. I suppose that they're also dealing with too many unknowns, so right. The communication will be, sorry to let you know, drug X is currently unavailable. We will let you know once it's available again.
Right.
They can't come out with specific dates very often. If you have a molecule that is available in various forms, as in original drug and then generic products, as soon as one supplier goes out of stock, it causes a wave that runs through the different brands and can be very upsetting.
Right.
For one example, there's a cholesterol drug. The originator is Ezetrol, and the generic drug is Ezetimibe.
Right.
Since about June last year, there have been waves of disruption to the supply of that drug. And there's a lot of combinations with the statins. So people are taking two drugs in one tablet.
Okay.
And because of that key ingredient, there have been numerous supply chain issues. It's very challenging because the product will come in four different strengths.
Right.
So we'll suddenly be getting the Ezetimibe in a single component and then adding the statin. So people are once again taking two.
Okay.
And then the combination drug comes back into stock and people forget about it. So they continue on that. But there are solutions. With some of the blood pressure medications, you get your diehard patients that refuse to be changed to a new drug.
And those are the ones who demand to see you.
and we actually have some very aggressive interactions, unfortunately.
Right.
And it's not our fault.
Yeah.
And yes, we have competitors out there, and Dis-Chem being as large as we are normally one of the first to go out of stock. So the people might start finding it, sourcing it at some of the private pharmacies that might have a bit of extra stock. But that also goes out very quickly.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you find that patients want to stockpile when it comes back in? They want to get extra 2, 3, 4 months worth?
Yes, some of them do that. Then you've got risks of expiry dates.
Yes.
Which I don't believe are that critical. There aren't many drugs that become toxic upon expiry. If it's a highly scheduled drug, there's no chance of stockpiling it.
Yeah.
Like the amphetamine Vyvanse at the moment, and methylphenidate, your Concertas, the generics for that. You may only ever have 30 days supply on you.
Right.
So when those go out of stock, it's a problem. And Vyvanse is one that it was launched 3 years ago, and over the last year and a half, it's really taken off with popularity.
Right.
High demand. Currently, the 30 and 50 milligram strengths are totally out of stock. There was an absolute frenzy because we were one of the last to have the 30 milligram and the 50 milligram. And we could have had an answering service purely for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, are we finding sort of that there's a social media popularity around certain drugs? I know.
Absolutely.
You know, and that you causes can name, the...
Yeah, Ozempic, Vyvanse. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And particularly with Ozempic, there seems to be a lot of counterfeit drug filtering into the market
right
at the moment. And the responses that people get to it are obviously very disappointing.
Yes.
And there are huge risks in consuming medicines like that.
So just on that point, I mean, I suppose it's an obvious answer to the question, but how vital is it? If your pharmacy that you go to usually is out, to rather stick with the larger pharmacies, the more established chains, where you're not running a potential risk of a counterfeit product on a shelf.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Your corporate pharmacies obviously have to practice to the highest ethical standards.
Yes.
In your private situation, there are some, you can't generalize. There are very good private pharmacies out there.
Yes.
But you do get those that operate within the gray area.
And that, they may not even know that they're getting counterfeits.
Correct. So, yes.
Which is the where you have a stronger supply chain management process in place. Absolutely. Yes. We've got a question here from one of our listeners. I'm going to hand it over to you because I'm not going to destroy the names of the drugs. But it says, morning, Nicholas. I battle to get, is it Betnasol N. How different is, Omnier to Betnasol, Betnasol N?
Betnasol N and Omnier are totally Terrell. Different.
Yeah.
Betnasol N is a eye drop or ear drop, which is a combination of a steroid, a cortisone, mm-hmm. with neomycin, which is an antibiotic. It's often prescribed in a combination with decongestant nasal sprays, where we make up a mixture that people spray for about 5 to 7 days. Omnair is a steroid cortisone nasal spray for sinusitis.
Right.
Long-term treatment.
Okay.
There are plenty of competing different molecules to Omnia that could replace it. It's had a few disruptions in supply, but it's never been out for more than 6 weeks, I don't think.
Right.
Whereas Betnasol and Betnasol N have been very disrupted over the last 10 years. It comes back in waves. There is an alternative, which is known as FML. FML Neo is the equivalent to Betnasol N. It's the same antibiotic with a slightly more potent steroid.
Right.
So it's used for the same purposes.
Carol, hope that answers the question. But just to go back to what we spoke about earlier in the show, and this is not medical advice. I'm not a medical professional. Just speaking of my own experience, I used to take Betnasol, and then I think there was another Fixanase or was it Nasonex, always with these sinus issues and dealing with getting the humidor, staying hydrated before bedtime. I've fortunately not had to use them.
Yes.
So if we look at the certain drugs, and again, coming down to healthy living, right, people should be taking responsibility is a bit of a harsh word, you know, taking in hand their healthcare to try and minimize the effects of the need for medication.
Yes, right. Correct.
Let's go to a quick ad break and then we'll chat a little bit more about that when we're back. Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside. Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
It's Monday and you're listening to Dis-Chem Medical Monday on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle and I'm joined in studio by David Kahn from Dis-Chem Linksfield. We're chatting about drug shortages. Let us have your questions or comments on our WhatsApp number 061-895-1019. David, I wanted to touch on what is the process if a patient or when a patient comes in, they present their script, and I was going to say they stand in the fast-moving queue because they are fast-moving queues. They present their script to the pharmacist and, you know, then that drug is out of stock.
The first thing that we try and do is source it from another branch that might have surplus stock.
Right.
And that is in the hope that we'll be able to distribute that fairly until new supplies arrive. If there's a total disruption and that particular drug is not available and there's no generic available for it, we contact the prescriber.
Right.
If the patient is prepared to wait for us to do that, we contact the prescriber.
Okay. Yeah. And then based on their recommendation, there would be alternatives.
Yes, and in most instances, there are alternative treatments available.
Right.
It might not be the first choice. However, you will still get a very similar result until such time as.
Okay. In your experience with your time in the industry, have you seen shortages getting worse? Is this something that's been constant?
It has become worse over the last 5 years, and we know that the initial disruption was caused by the pandemic. And then after that, people were blaming the war in Ukraine,
yes,
which caused a lot of logistical disruption. And it wasn't only pharmaceuticals. There was massive inflation. So companies, pharmaceutical companies are also distributing according to economic demand and where the money goes.
Right.
And if you take a product like Ozempic, which costs about just under 3,000 rand a month here, okay, that same product in the USA costs $1,000.
Okay.
Very, very often, whatever the price is in rands, yeah, if it's 300 rand for the item, it'll be $300 for the same item in the USA.
Right.
So companies are obviously profiting as well.
Okay.
Another huge contributing factor, which is improving now, was that most of your APIs, your active chemicals used by the pharmaceutical companies, are manufactured in a few sites around the world. The bulk of them would have been India and China. And some environmental requirements were introduced under new regulations. So a lot of plants had to undergo upgrades and shut down, which caused a lot of disruption. You might have 5 or 6 plants around the world producing, but suddenly when 20% of the capacity is taken down for an upgrade, it causes hiccups.
Okay.
Yes.
Those of us living in Athol understand that with the water shortages.
Yes.
So we have another question here from Diane. Please, can you tell me when, what, Humalog?
Humalog. Humalog 200 was discontinued. It's not coming back.
Okay.
That was a particular insulin.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. There would be an alternative for that.
Yes, there are alternatives. Okay. Right. Yes.
So, that's when, Diane, the best thing is go into your Dis-Chem pharmacy.
That wouldn't be up to us to make that decision.
No,
that
up to the prescriber.
Yeah, the endocrinologist would make that decision.
Decision, okay.
Yes.
So, go back, see your endocrinologist.
Yes.
And then come into the form.
Yes.
Okay. 100%. Yes. Don't want to get myself
that's
into
been,
medical
that's
problem.
Been quite a while that yeah. hasn't been available.
Okay. So would there not have then been feedback from the prescriber? Or would this be a preferred medication from a patient?
The drug company communicated
Right. That it's done.
Yes, that it's discontinued, yes.
What is the reasoning behind discontinuation with some of the drugs?
Probably in that case, it wasn't used excessively.
Okay.
So it was a supply-demand issue.
Right.
And there are insulins that have better results than that particular molecule. So people can use alternative insulins without having to go to those massive doses.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, all right.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing. And I suppose it really comes down to these plants allocating resources for what the most in-demand and what the most profitable drugs would be.
Yes, yes.
Right. Okay. Do you see this, in your opinion, improving over time, or is this something that we need to get used to living with?
It is going to improve over time.
Mm.
However, when there are sudden affinities for drugs such as Vyvanse or Ozempic,
yes,
and the companies have promised additional manufacturing capacity, as soon as that capacity was brought on stream, they still couldn't meet demand.
Right.
So, yeah. So in that instance, it's problematic. But your mainstream drugs should be able to stabilize.
Okay. I think how big an issue has this been around sort of drugs like Ritalin for ADHD or... So I'm old because...
Yes.
I don't know if there are newer ones out.
Yeah.
So.
Over the last 3 years, that molecule's been particularly problematic. particularly with the generics. The originator, Concerta and Ritalin, mm-hmm. haven't had many outages. So it is obviously a distribution, a financial distribution issue.
Right.
Where the originators are obviously trying to get the lion's share and control supply of the active ingredient.
Yes.
Which is disrupting the generic manufacturers.
Ah, okay.
That's what I read into it.
Right.
I stand to correction. But there has been a constant supply. If the generics have been totally out, people have had to fork out and pay double for the originator.
Right.
We don't like selling the originator. Mm-hmm. We prefer to sell generics.
Right. Just of that cost saving.
Yes.
If we can chat on what is a generic and then what is an originator?
The originator is when a drug is patented
mm-hmm.
and is brought to market under a particular brand name, it's protected for about 10 years.
Right.
And that depends from the date at which the patent was actually awarded. So okay. in some instances, if it takes a long time to get the drug onto the market after the patent is approved, that protection period can be a lot less.
Right.
So they have to make their money during that time.
Okay.
And then your generic manufacturers get licensed to start producing the drugs.
Okay.
Yeah.
But in terms of the drug itself, it's identical.
Yes.
Okay. Well, the active ingredient.
Yes, it has to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's really, again, down to the medical aids and these kind of things.
Yes. Right. Unfortunately, if a generic goes totally unavailable, where medical aids are forcing patients to pay a generic difference if they want the originator,
mm-hmm.
when that generic is not available, they are forced to pay.
Right.
And that causes a lot of angst and
challenges.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's, the expenses, particularly if you're running a family, you have quite a big family, it can become a very big monthly expense.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Right. For people to have an additional 2,000 to 3,000 rand a month cost around a child who's got ADHD.
Yes.
With a few other complications.
Right.
Add that to probably a few extra lessons along the way.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think we're speaking to people who know exactly what we mean.
Yes.
So, if you mentioned earlier that if you are out of stock in this particular branch, that you'll approach other branches. How far usually do you go? Is it a countrywide thing?
Sometimes we do countrywide. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we'll source from wherever.
Right.
Yeah. It might take a few days. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have management staff moving around the country, coming up for a conference or something.
Right.
Just the timing is right, so we managed to get it short-circuited that way.
Okay.
We do a lot of positive things happen in the background like that you wouldn't expect from a corporate.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think, that's a wonderful thing because the relationships that are built into the corporate, you do know who's moving around. There is that communication.
Yes. Yes.
And you can expedite these things much quicker.
And we have really good relationships with a lot of our customers that when I first moved into corporate, I didn't think that would be the case.
Right.
However, there are wonderful relationships there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you look at your, there's a delivery service option, if I'm correct.
Where yes.
The scripts are, is that a better option if one is using drugs that are at risk of running out, or is still going into the pharmacy? Is it the same?
It's going to be the same.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. If we get an order for a drug, whether it's a customer facing us or it's a delivery order, same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah. In most instances, we'll tell you, sorry, it's not available. We'll get it for you. Would you like it delivered or would you like to come collect it in a few days' time once we have it?
Right.
Yeah.
So if someone is using one of these drugs, is it advisable to call into the call center or to the branch to say, is this available?
If it's one of the ones that's in short supply?
Yes.
Yes, people are doing that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's saving them stress. And,
yes, yes.
Okay, it's, 100%.
Yeah, it puts pressure on our poor telephony, but... Yes. Yeah.
But I'm sure they're getting to know your customers as well.
Yes.
And there are personal relationships developing there.
Yeah. And if you're frustrated on the phones, use the WhatsApp line.
Right. Okay.
That's the alternative.
Right.
Yeah.
And WhatsApp is great because you can message, wait for the response while doing other things.
Yes.
And you know, the conversation might take a little bit longer, but it does free up your time.
Yes. Yes. That channel is extremely busy. And what we need to our customers to learn is that if they keep pinging new messages through, it pushes them to the top of the list, which ultimately puts them to the bottom of the pile.
Yes.
Because we have to prioritize the oldest messages.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so sometimes that causes a bit of a challenge where people start hammering it and it hasn't been attended to and the staff are looking at the bottom of the list to keep it clear.
Clear. Yes. Okay. So that's such a valid point because you message once.
Yes.
And then wait for the yourself
response.
To come
you
through
will
the
get
queue.
A response, yes.
Otherwise you just keep putting yourself to the back of the queue.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that I'm sure
can
build up
shout,
a little
you
bit
get
of frustration.
Put in the naughty corner.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And then just from Diane, we got a thank you for the information. You're most welcome. That's why we are here. So, folks, if you are, if you do have any questions, let us have them on 061-895-1019. I'm in studio with Dis-Chem's David Kahn. We're chatting drug shortages. I don't want to preempt or cause panic or a rush, but are there any drugs that you see in the future that may have potential shortage issues?
There's never a need for panic because there are always alternative treatments available.
Right.
So it's just that people are creatures of habit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If we can just touch on that, in your experience where people are wanting to stick to the drug they know or the name brand that they know, I suppose you could say 100%, but how similar are the alternatives?
Very similar.
Yeah.
It might be a different class of, the same class of drug, but a different molecule.
Right.
And under normal circumstances, between five competing molecules in a class of drug, you might find one that works particularly well for you.
Okay.
And that's based on the strengths that are available that might give you a better result. However, to change, if your blood pressure is brought to within 98% of normal instead of 96% of normal, it's not a major challenge for a few months.
Yes.
Until that other drug comes back into the market.
Right.
There was a drug, Irbesartan, which is one of the blood pressure drugs that's been very disrupted over the last few years.
Okay.
And eventually, prescribers moved away from it because they became frustrated with it not being available. Now it's suddenly come back over the last year, and people are starting to trickle back onto it.
Right. And that's just – so I was just seeing – we're saying the streaming service is very erratic, so we it is being attended to, Colin. Thank you for letting us know. With some of the more serious drugs, so where there are more life-threatening issues or causes, so you know maybe with cancer treatment or other examples, how do the doctors prioritize sort of the dispensing of or the giving of these drugs?
I'm not aware of many disruptions within oncology drugs.
Okay.
We don't, those are handled more by our oncology department.
Right.
I'm not aware that there have been huge disruptions there though.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what sort of segments are we seeing more of the disruptions? Is that more of the day-to-day type of
blood
medication?
Pressure. Okay. Antidepressants,
right.
Certain sleeping drugs have been like Dormicum, the one benzodiazepine sleeping drug that was very disrupted for a few years. Now one of the strengths is back.
Okay.
It was quite interesting how many people were forced to go cold turkey on that. And when you see how people struggle to come off a long-term benzodiazepine, I don't know how they managed, but they did.
Right.
Yeah.
And have they stayed, a lot of them stayed off?
Yes, or moved over to alternatives.
Right.
Where possible, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my favorite alternative is chocolate.
Always. Yeah. Yeah. From Aspen, they do a vitamin B complex and a vitamin B12 injection.
Right.
That's something that's been very erratic as well. And every 4 months, there might be a release into the market, and suddenly that's all mopped up and gone.
Right.
But within a month, it's sold out. They can't keep up with getting the active ingredients.
Okay. So is a lot of the challenge with the active ingredients because the demand is cyclical? Do you think where manufacturers don't want to ramp up production and then be stuck with excess? Or is it just that the cost of developing these plants? Or?
I think it's the environmental requirements that have caused a lot of problems there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could we touch on some of that?
I don't know all the details. It's obviously standards that needed to be applied with emissions from factories, waste control, packaging, all that sort of issue.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as I think we'll go back to that question now. We're just going to take a quick ad break.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You're listening to 101.9 High FM. It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday. My name is Nicholas Singler, and I'm joined in studio by Dis-Chem's David Kahn. We are chatting about the shortages of medication throughout the world and its effects. Let us have your questions or comments on 061-895-1019. It's such a fascinating topic, this, for me. Like, I'm sort of struggling a bit with the conversation because I'm thinking about what's being said, and sometimes for my brain that can be a bit of a challenge. So I've been working on getting around that. We were chatting about sort of the challenges that the manufacturers are facing in terms of more stringent environmental demands on the factories, factory outputs, the packaging, and nothing against environmentalism and its very important role. But when it's starting to cause effects like this, where there's massive shortages affecting the population, maybe those people who are also being affected need to shout as loudly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It seems quite sad that in every instance of our society, going greener comes at a huge expense.
Yes.
And it should be the other way around.
Yeah. The benefit really does need to be there for people, because I think with our mental health being as hammered as it has been over the last couple of years, particularly, and then you're having to stress about your medication, and you're having to stress about its availability.
Yeah. And just to get back to other issues in manufacturing relating to shortages, the antibiotic ointment, which was known as Bactroban, which was originally produced by GlaxoSmithKline, the FDA discovered traces of penicillin in their manufacturing plant a few years ago.
Right.
And they had to shut down. They gave them a time frame. When they came back, there were still traces.
Right.
And that's how Bactroban was actually discontinued for a few years. And then the generic manufacturers started coming in with the product.
Okay.
We've had an example recently where a cardiac drug known as Corralan, the 7.5 milligram boxes were printed on the face of the box, 7.5.
Right.
On the short end of the box, they were printed 5 milligram.
Wow.
And the foils contained 7.5 milligram. They were labeled 7.5. But because of that error, they had to recall about 4 batches.
Okay.
So now that puts it.
How big is a batch?
Yeah.
How big is a batch?
It's not a hugely popular drug, but it causes a disruption.
Right.
Yeah. It's back on the shelf, so that was hugely impressive.
Okay.
But that's quite a cost impact for a company as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
That can be quite severe.
Yes.
I think, just completely off the subject for my own personal, what happened to Mercurochrome?
It's still available.
Is it available?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I thought it had been
I had that from somebody, heard the conversation somewhere at the end of the dispensary about 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
So I hopped up and ran to the shelf and I said, you're looking for this.
Okay.
And nobody even thought to go and look for it, but I'd spotted it. Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
fantastic. That's you could have your arm chopped off in the '70s. You know,
yes.
Your mom would douse you up and send you out with your friends
yes,
again.
Yeah, and if you were naughty, she would have used methylate rather.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Put you on fire.
Fire, absolutely. we have another question here. I'm going to hand it over to you as well, Dave. So my daughter has been on VAVYV Vianacin.
They're on Vyvanse. Your daughter's been on Vyvanse, but it's unavailable. Concerta makes her feel terrible. Mm. There is no alternative to Vyvanse. It depends what strength she's been on. If you give me a call at the pharmacy, I can speak to you about a possible alternative your doctor could prescribe to you, which is not Concerta. Just coming to think about that,
right?
It's a different amphetamine that is available. It might be a bit more costly than Vyvanse because the strength might need to be adjusted upwards.
Okay,
we can talk about that if you want. Give me a call.
Okay. Hope that answers your question. Thank you. So, I'm very happy about Mercurochrome coming back on. With that, is it then also an option that the patient can come and chat to you? There can be a recommendation that is then discussed with the doctor?
Absolutely.
Right.
We specialize in that at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah, there's been a lot of disruption. We've had to make a lot of changes. When a particular strength of a drug goes out of stock, that can be quite risky because we might end up having to cut tablets. Well, if we have to go from a 10 milligram, if you're taking 10 milligrams,
right,
and suddenly that's out of stock and we have to give you 20 milligrams,
right,
I always insist to my staff that they cut those tablets at time of dispensing to not cause any issues of double dosing for the patients.
Right.
And then sometimes the original one comes back and the label has been printed out originally as take a half a tablet.
Yes.
They make the change on the strength and they forget to change the label.
Right.
Which is essentially a dispensing error.
Yes.
Most people know it. So it's just something that we need to be aware of all the time.
Right.
Or if a person's taking Lamictal, one of the mood stabilizers, or it's used in epilepsy as well, there's been a lot of disruption around that drug.
Right.
Where one strength has been unavailable. So there have been mix-ups in doses because of that.
Okay.
Some people are taking three different strengths of it, and suddenly we're having to halve tablets or they have to take two of one. So our patients always need to be aware as well. We have responsibilities and rights.
Yes.
We need to be aware of what we're taking and take care of that as well.
I think that's such an important point that, you know, give your pharmacist the time they need to do what they have to do while you're waiting in the queue. You know, don't rush the queue. Don't get irate. We know people are under time pressure or there's parking issues, but it's something that's so vital. Yeah. And we wouldn't rush our doctor during a consultation. I think we all want to spend more time there. I think the same thing applies to dealing with your pharmacist.
Yes. And there are moments when it looks like there's nothing happening. Mm. And there's a huge queue.
Yeah.
You come back 5 minutes later, that queue will have moved out.
Yes.
And the people that were assisting people standing there who might have been at the back of the dispensary involved in something are back.
Yeah.
And it's flowing.
Right. I have seen that a few times myself.
Yeah.
I suppose it's trust the process.
Yes.
Because it is your health that's on the line and everyone else's that's in the queue with you.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. When it's routine and everything's flowing smoothly, that you expect it to be like the service you would get at a McDonald's.
Yeah.
However, there are times where extra attention is needed.
Yes.
And it can hold back the queue.
Right.
And it's important that it does.
Absolutely.
Critically important. Yeah.
And it's not like a McDonald's where there can be prep work done beforehand.
Yes.
Every single script has to be filled.
Yes.
From scratch.
Yeah, there's no pre-packing. Mm. It's impossible.
Right.
It's illegal.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is the cutting of pills we were talking about? Is that sort of physically halving the doses? Do you weigh each one? Or is that what the line in the pill is for?
It can be. Sometimes it's hard to break.
Yeah. Hard to break. And on that segue, we're going to an ad break.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
You are listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and I'm joined in studio by Dis-Chem's legendary David Kahn, who gave us the best ad segue I've had in my career. It was fantastic. So we were chatting about breaking pills before we went to ad break. So folks, let us have your questions on our WhatsApp number, 0618951019. David, cutting pills, what is that?
Regarding cutting pills, very, very simple devices are available. It's a little plastic device with a razor blade built into it, which acts as a guillotine.
Right.
It has a V that allows you to centralize the tablet and then make your cut. Some tablets are easy to cut. Others are challenging.
Right.
It's a bit of a learning curve. Some tablets can't be cut. If they're slow release, we need to see how the matrix of the tablet is built before considering cutting. So that's something we always need to check and advise on. Some tablets you can snap the cutter straight through. Others you need to just sort of cleave the surface of the tablet and complete the break yourself.
Okay.
If it is a once-off, I insist on my staff cutting. If it's an elderly patient, I insist on my staff cutting.
Okay.
If it's a regular thing for an able-bodied person, they must go and spend the 20 to 30 rand and buy a cutter and do it themselves every month. Okay,
right.
If a tablet can't be cut because of the matrix of the tablet crumbling and you're getting a quarter instead of a half, or just like it really breaks up, the best way to take that, if you were meant to be taking a half, would be to dissolve the tablet in water.
Okay.
And then drink half today, half the volume, and the other half tomorrow, and just keep it in the fridge in a container.
Right.
We'll provide a container to allow you to do that if it needs to go that way. It happens occasionally.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a sealed container, I'm assuming.
It might just be a tablet vial or a bottle, anything. Okay. I mean, if you dilute, if you're putting a tablet into a 50ml bottle of water and drinking 25ml, the other 25 tomorrow, if you drink 28ml and 23ml, I mean 22 and 28, it's not going to be a huge difference.
Yes.
Ultimately, you're getting half the tablet in over 24 hours. You're getting it in twice, so you're getting your full tablet.
Right. And I'm just grimacing with that because the thought, the taste of some of the tablets that we have to take are not very pleasant.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that also something that's intentional, stopping kids? Because I know some of the battery manufacturers now make their watch batteries, their CR220s and so on, taste very bitter.
Yes.
So kids don't put them in their mouths.
No, that's just luck of the chemical.
Chemicals.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
That can be a little bit unpleasant.
Yes.
All right. Just at sort of wrapping up with the shortage of drugs worldwide, is there anything that you would like to add before we wrap up or to chat about? Because I think we've answered most of the questions.
I think we've covered most of it.
Right.
We're dealing with it. The governments are dealing with it.
Right.
In some instances, like 3 years ago, there was a shortage of EpiPens.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And the manufacturer spent the money in retesting their product, which is it's a huge expense to reassess a product for expiry.
Okay.
And they published a regulatory update that the expiry date was extended by 6 months.
Okay.
So that was a way around that issue.
Oh, okay.
Some people might think that was corporate greed. However, to reassess a drug like that is extremely expensive.
Okay. Yeah. So they may not have won.
Yes.
There.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, on that point, what can people do? Can they write to the manufacturer of the drug company of the drug?
They do.
Okay.
We had an instance 2 weeks ago where one of the hormone therapy patches that's unavailable at the moment, that's a sector that's had a lot of disruption over the last 2 years as well. It was not available, and they phoned me. They'd spoken to somebody at the manufacturer who told her that there was stock available, but it expires in October. So I said, well, give me the contact of the person you spoke to, and we're currently arranging to get 2 months supply out of that stock into the system.
Right.
What confuses me is that there's such demand for the product, they could have released it with a guaranteed buyback if it had expired on the shelves in the distribution centers.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes these things slip, so it's always better to...
Yeah, there's always the possibility of human error. And with the advent of all of the global logistics and supply chain management, everybody wants to keep the minimum amount of stock.
Yes.
Inventory needs to be kept. And as soon as there's a hiccup, throw a stone in a pond and that ripple becomes a wave.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's everyone's operating on minimum effective dose.
Yeah, trying to.
And sometimes it doesn't always serve.
Yes. Yes.
So I think that's a great way to wrap up the show, that write to the manufacturers, be heard if you are having difficulties with getting your product. It's not the pharmacy's fault.
Yes. They aren't the easiest to communicate with.
Right. Yeah. So, but the more people that do, the more likely they are to listen.
Yes.
All right. David, thank you so much for joining us.
As always, a pleasure.
Great having you in studio. And that's our show for today. You've been listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday on 101.9 High FM. Look forward to chatting with you next week. My name is Nicholas Ingall. Thank you for joining us.